It is Columbia Morning on News Talk 1400 KFRU. I'll get to the first after I introduce my guest. Her name is Isla Borders, and she's commuting to work today. Isla, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing fantastic.
How's the drive in Portland, Oregon?
Well, should I say wet? It's usually always wet, but we've been having a pretty mild winter, so it's been good.
Well, you're lucky. You're not on the Portland, Maine side of the country, correct?
No, I've heard about that, though. We had our last year is our worst winter ever in Portland, so I'm enjoying this one.
Portland is beautiful, I think, and it's kind of neat to be in the Northwest. What do you do now?
I am a firefighter paramedic. I'm also an instructor at college, and then I'm working part-time for MLB as a scout.
Major League Baseball is what that stands for those who may not put that together. That's because she has been involved in baseball. When did you first play baseball?
I started playing when I was 10 years old. You know, my dad played for the Dodgers in the minor league system, so I always kind of grew up around a baseball field.
Isla Borders is going to be the featured speaker at the Win for Columbia Luncheon, the banquet, which comes up about a month from today. It's February 6th. That is a Tuesday. Southwell Complex at Columbia College from 11:30 to 1, carrying on the tradition of bringing in some tremendous representatives of women in sports and also tremendous examples for young girls and for women as to what it means to be an athlete. And I think you have a special story. When I talk about first, let me just name a few of those for our listeners. The first female to get a baseball scholarship to play on a men's collegiate team, correct?
That's correct.
Do you remember when you were offered that scholarship, what the circumstances were like?
I definitely do. The big thing for me was, you know, they are paying for me to play baseball. So that was really showing that I belong there and they wanted me there. And it wasn't that easy, you know. One of this main heading event is called Setting No Limits. And I'm going to be talking about pretty much all these limits that people try to set on me, but I was still very fortunate to break through them. And to be able to get a full ride scholarship to play men's collegiate baseball, and it was NAIA Division II, was meant a lot to me.
So who was it that offered you that? Was it something that they realized what they were doing? Did they see you as a female baseball player breaking a barrier there, or did they see you as a good baseball player that could help their team?
Yeah, it's funny when you look back upon it. My coach at the time was Charlie Phillips, a wonderful man who really believed in me. And a little background on him is he's a left-handed pitcher that pitched for USC and the Angels. So I thought, hey, this is going to be fantastic. Guys are getting signed out of there. Scouts are going to the school. And with NAIA, what's really cool about it is they play against Division I schools. They play against the junior colleges. So you're getting a lot of baseball. You're getting seen. And then I get to work with a left-handed pitcher that played with the Angels. And he just said, hey, I think I can develop you and make you into a better pitcher and reach your goal to play in the pros.
How did he discover you?
I reached out to him. So I put feelers out there. I think I put close to at least 20 or 25 packets together to coaches along the way to see who was interested. And, of course, I did that because I knew I was going to get mostly no's. But I got three yeses. And I was able to take those three yeses from the 25, and I ended up breaking it down and seeing where do I think I could develop the most. And that was at SCC. It's called Vanguard University now, and I was working with Charlie Phillips.
You also are first to win a collegiate baseball game, a men's game, as a female pitcher. Do you remember how that felt?
Yeah. A lot of people were wondering, hey, can she go, you know, nine innings? And that was my first game, and I win a complete game victory, and we won 12-1. It was a pretty close game until we got into the eighth inning, and it kind of broke wide open. But it was a very close game. I went nine innings, win a complete game, and then that was able to kind of squash a lot of people's thinking about, you know, can a woman go nine innings?
What are the first that you remember as far as playing professional ball then post-collegiately?
You know, it's weird. In my book called Making My Pitch, I don't talk about my first game win because I don't remember a lot of it. It was just a blur. But the second game where I got a no decision against the first place team, that's the game that I actually broke it down pitch by pitch, and we had the history on it pitch by pitch. And I was able to recall that one very well. But the first game was special because I was in Duluth Superior Dukes, my hometown, my home stadium, and was able to get a win against the Sioux Falls Canaries. And anybody that's in professional baseball, they know about the Northern League called the American Association right now. Mm-hmm. You just have so many guys that sign out of there and go to the major leagues. I was playing with Scott Leyes, J.D. Drew. You know, the list can go on and on.
J.D. Drew will be a name that that resonates with some people in this area. We think of Drew's associated with the St. Louis Cardinals also. Isla Borders is our guest. We're talking about her career as a baseball pitcher and also her appearance coming into Columbia on February 6th. I'll give you more details about that in a few moments, but she is on her commute to work early this morning out in the Great Northwest. How long or did it ever occur before your teammates saw you as teammate Isla Borders and not woman Isla Borders?
It came down to usually that first year was really rough, you know, and I always thought about it. Hey, if I was a guy and I heard about a girl coming in, you know, what would I think? I would think, you know, what is she doing here? Is she trying to prove, you know, women are superior than men? Is she trying to go after one of us? You know, I tried to go into it thinking what were the guys thinking. And as soon as I went in there and showed them, you know, I worked just as hard as them or even harder. I was trying to win. I was trying to compete. I was a teammate, team player. After, I'd say, about the first year, they completely accepted me. And, man, they dove for the ball. They did everything they could for me.
What contact did you have with opponents, those who would step into the batter's box and say, oh, my gosh, I'm going to suffer great embarrassment if a female pitcher gets me out? Did you ever have contact with opponents who learned to respect you and say, you know, I stepped in thinking this, and I sure wanted to protect my manhood by not striking out or not grounding out or flying out, but I learned something?
Yeah, same thing. That first year was pretty rough. You know, I had guys that would strike out and they would throw their bat. Guys that would, even when I was younger, I struck out a guy and his girlfriend came after me with a knife, you know, when I was 14 years old. So there were some rough patches, but by the end of playing professional baseball, or it, high school, college, pro, whatever you name it, after that first year when people kind of see what you're all about, then it gets to the point where, hey, I struck out against a girl, no big deal. But usually that first year was kind of tough.
Yeah, I would say eventually maybe they would learn I struck out against an athlete or a pretty good pitcher and leave it at that.
Yeah, they eventually got to that, but it would take the first year.
I have a couple of things that I'm curious about, and I suppose that I'm going to ask you a question that if you haven't been asked 1,000 times, I would be surprised. Why baseball instead of softball?
You know, this is the best way I can explain it. I try to say, look at Serena Williams, okay? Hmm. And you take tennis and racquetball. It would be like telling a girl that's played tennis her entire life, and then she gets to maybe a certain age, and they say, oh, I'm sorry, you can't go play tennis anymore. You got to go play racquetball. I mean, you still have a ball. You still have a racket. It's a different court, and it makes it a completely different game. Softball and baseball are such completely different games. And I wanted to be a pitcher, and I wanted to pitch in the major leagues. I didn't want to pitch underhand. I didn't want to hit the ball that way. I really wanted to play Major League Baseball, and I just see it as a completely different sport.
It seems to me like you would have had to have had some strong individuals, men or women, parents or others, who encouraged you. And I think that is very special, especially I think you are a young woman now, and I'm sorry to say this if it makes you angry, but I don't think it will. You're in your early 40s, are you not?
Yes, I am.
So,
42.
So at your time period then, let's say you would have been, or 42, I'm going to do some math here real quick. That puts you back in
76. I could do it for you.
76.
around 22, you know. So, yeah, it's very young and impressionable. And I try to tell people that, you know, I was 21 to 25 years old playing pro ball with the heat on, under scrutiny, and I just tried to conduct myself in the best manner that I could. And I was very fortunate. I had a rough road. You know, I had some people, a lot of naysayers. I could go on and on. You know, people threw beer at me. People threw things at me. But I've also encountered the right person at the right time. I've had tons of support from mostly men. I'm extremely grateful. You know, Mike Vec took a chance on me. He's the one that's the owner, you know, of the St. Paul Saints, and his dad, Bill Vec, with the Chicago White Sox. And he, I could talk about him all day, an amazing man that was pro Isla, pro me, would do anything in the world for me. And I can do that for every situation. High school, I had that. Junior college, I had my coach, Raul Essinger, go to bat for me. I didn't have to go to court because they went in there and they fought for me to play. So I've been a very fortunate woman to have some really good quality men to go to bat for me, and I'm extremely grateful.
How about way early? I'm talking maybe in the early 80s when you were just a little girl and you said, I think I'd like to play baseball. Or did somebody say, let's play baseball? Who there steered you on that path?
That's my mom and dad. Yeah. My dad was just way above or way early for his time. And it kind of, I talk about in the book, you know, he would go and play just backyard baseball. And there's this girl he said he would play with that was almost better than him. And so, you know, when he had me, it wasn't like, oh, okay, I have a daughter. She can't play Major League Baseball. When I went up to him and I said, Dad, I want to play baseball, it was, okay, you know, I'm going to do everything possible to let you fulfill that dream. But the thing that I appreciate the most that my dad did is he prepared me. And he said, this is not going to be an easy road, and this is what will happen to you. And at any point in time, you're out and you don't want to do this anymore, just tell me and I'll support that. But if you want to do that, then I'm going to prepare you for it. And don't complain when I put you through some stuff to prepare you for that.
Was it harder mentally or physically?
Everything.
Yeah.
Absolutely everything. Because, you know, men are naturally stronger than women. And it's a known fact. And we, as a woman, you have to work out harder. You have to lift weights. You have to use absolutely every inch of your body and have perfect mechanics, you know, in order to compete. And then you have to pitch differently. You know, I threw 83 miles per hour. I didn't throw 90. You know, at that time, that was kind of the standard, whereas now, oh my gosh, you see Chapman and other people. But it's still, you know, throwing 83-mile-an-hour fastball, I have to really hit my spots. I've got to get the correct spin on the ball and, you know, go with my off-speed a lot. So it was it's a whole different ball game, and that's just physical. Then you go to the mental side, and, you know, with stuff that's going to be thrown your way, you have to be ready for it.
If you were 22 now and you were on this path that you have pursued 20 years ago, if you were there now, do you anticipate much difference? Would there be more acceptance? Would it have been easier? What would you have said would be different now, and would you do the same thing as you did then?
So how I'd answer that is if I went back then to where it would be the same situation, I wouldn't change a thing because of the time there. But if I were playing now and I was around 22 in this time, I would be completely who I am. You know, I was hiding who I was. Major League Baseball at that time just was not ready for a female baseball player. I was constantly talking to them, and they're like, hey, we like you. Hey, you've got the correct tools. You know, we want to develop you. We want to take you in. I was talking to the Reds, and they're like, yeah, we're going to invite you to spring training camp. You know, you're throwing the ball 83. You got an above-average curveball, and your screwball is working great. And they were just saying, we want you to develop a slider, but everything, you, we're going to invite you to spring training camp and sign you to a minor league contract. And it never transpired because they said, you know what, we just don't want the media. We just don't want the hoopla. We don't want the craziness. And now, you know, I'm working for MLB part-time as a scout, and they are nothing but encouraging, helpful, and they are begging, they're talking to me, hey, do you know any women that, you know, are playing professional baseball that we could possibly sign? You got your eyes out there on anybody? They're really promoting women in baseball. So if it was me right now, I would feel really good. I'd feel like Major League Baseball is ready for it, and I would be completely open to who I am.
How close is there to a woman who would be signed by a Major League Baseball team? When do you think that will happen?
Well, a lot of people keep on saying it's going to be a pitcher, and I don't, you know, I kind of disagree with that. Because this day and age, I mean, you've got to throw the ball at least over 80. And I've been trying to work with some girls or tell them, hey, don't complain about not getting a shot because you're throwing the ball 70 miles per hour or 72. That's not going to cut it, you know. So if you want to even get looked at, you need to lift weights. You need to get stronger. You need to develop yourself. You need to work on quickness, and you need to throw a fastball at least over 80. And I haven't seen that yet, but a lot of them haven't been lifting weights. Is that possible? You betcha. I just haven't seen it yet, and a lot of that comes from really trying to develop girls starting at 10, you know, playing in high school, playing in college, but a lot of them go to softball, and you miss that really big time of developing in college. But I personally believe it could be a second baseman.
I was going to ask you about position. Isla Borders is our guest for a few more moments. And again, she is coming on February 6th. I'll give you the details of the win for Columbia Banquet, which recognizes accomplishments by girls and women of all ages and all backgrounds in their athletic pursuits. And she sure has had a successful one as a college baseball player, as a professional baseball player. So you say second baseman, you might be able to envision a woman playing professional sports, a major league at second base. I was going to ask you if maybe the reason that most expect it was going to be a pitcher was because many times pitchers don't have to really be good hitters. What is your comment about that?
I think, you know, the pitchers get a thing of, oh my gosh, you know, they're not athletes. I beg to differ. You've got to jump off that mound. You've got to cover your ground. I think pitchers are athletes. But
how about hitting?
I also think, I mean, look at Tommy Glavine, look at Maddox. It just goes into, you know, where you put most of your time in. As a pitcher, you can't put tons of time in, you know, hitting the ball, getting up at the plate like the other position players. Most of your time goes into pitching and developing that. So it is difficult to keep up with that. But I believe it could be a second baseman because, one, women are quick. You can have quick feet. You don't need to make that huge long throw from down deep and shortstop. Mm-hmm. You know, second base, you could still have a great arm and get it over there. Hitting-wise, I think women can totally – you know, you don't have to be a power hitter. You have your certain positions that hit for certain things. You know, you're not at first base as a power position trying to hit the ball out of the ballpark. You're not at third. You know, you're right up the middle between short, second, and third. You know, you're looking for your contact hitters, getting on base, hitting those, you know, singles, doubles. You don't need to be hitting out of the ballpark all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, for the women's baseball event coming up in 2018 in Florida, which I'm going to be playing in, you know, we have women there right now that are hitting it out of normal baseball ballparks. So it's completely possible. People are doing it now. I just think a woman has more of a shot playing at second base as far as arm, quickness, being able to hit the ball. I've heard about that French girl that was playing over there that was going to be drafted by Major League Baseball. I think her name is Melissa something. She went into softball playing in Florida, but she's been getting a lot of help from ex-major leaguers, and I think that's what's gonna take. Some girls starting like Monet Davis at a very young age, mm-hmm. and like my thing that I encountered, playing all the way up through high school, playing men's college baseball, because those are very important years, and then going into pro ball and being able to build, like a guy, develop those skills from an early age.
Fascinating conversation. I really like hearing you talk so deeply about baseball because I like that. I like hearing a person who knows baseball talking about baseball the way that most of us just on the periphery don't really break it down. So that's really good to hear. I'm going to end this with the other question that I felt like I wanted to get your reaction to. And I think you've already addressed this a bit. I am the father of a young high school age girl, if she came to me and said, Dad, I'm going to pursue a career in a male-dominated sport like baseball or male-dominated, I would say, well, be ready for harassment, be ready for all these things that would be coming your way. And in light of the current culture as it developed late in 2017 and all of the stories that we've heard, how did you deal with that? Or is it something that even you spend much time worrying about?
I'm going to say it is difficult. I think things are changing, though. But as soon as you're a threat, I think if you go out there and if you're not a threat, you know, everything will be fine. But if you're taking a guy's spot, you know, there's going to be a threat there and there's going to be some stuff happening. And how I handled it is humor. You know, I go and talk to businesses, corporate businesses, and some of the advice I really can't give because it's a little inappropriate in the corporate setting. And I would tell people that if you're to go a female in men's baseball, it's not going to be corporate, you know. It is very harsh. And, you know, I work as a firefighter paramedic in a male-dominated world. I'm the only female on that, too. And how I get by with it is humor. And some of it is a little inappropriate. And what the guys do is they want to see how you're going to react as a female. And I could give some examples. I give some examples in the book where it was completely inappropriate what they would do and come up, you know, whether they're naked and they're trying to talk to me and they're just trying to figure me out. Hey, am I going to call something on them? Am I going to do something? And every time I had a tough situation, I used humor. And it got me out of my situations that were pretty tough.
Wow. Well, we're out of time. I know you're at work and you need to get inside and get your job started. We really look forward to your visit with us on February the 6th for the Win for Columbia luncheon. I will tell more about how to get tickets for that after I thank you very much again. Best of luck to you. We look forward to your visit to Columbia. Thank you for what you shared with us today.
You bet you, David. I appreciate the interview. Good luck.
Thank you. Isla Borders, who is the baseball player, going to be a speaker for the celebration of female athletes of all levels at Columbia College and Southwell Complex on February the 6th. You can find out more information at Win for Columbia or contact me. I've been associated with that group for a long time. Love what they do and love what this banquet has become. And I think I'm going to really like hearing Isla Borders again on that date. It's News Talk 1400 KFRU.